The Holy Gospel for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in Luke chapter 13. He went on his way through the towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who be saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out. And the people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You can certainly tell that this is an election year. We hear about almost daily predictions, 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 and more predictions. Looking back, in even recent times, we can see that there were many strange predictions that were made that actually came true. Samuel Clemens, better known to most of us as Mark Twain, predicted his death. Mark Twain was born in 1835 when Halley's Comet was visible. And he predicted that he would die when Halley's Comet was again visible. Halley's Comet only appears every 74 to 76 years. It's recorded that Mark Twain died in 1910 at the age of 74, and as he had predicted, Halley's Comet was indeed visible in the night sky. He also said he foresaw his brother's death. He said he had a dream. 2 weeks later, his brother died in a boating accident. And when he went to view the body, it was laid out in his sister's parlor exactly as he had said and appeared in the dream to him. He made that prediction just a couple weeks before his brother's untimely death. Some of these people making predictions are perhaps making predictions by just using common sense and deducting the facts. But there are indeed people making predictions that we cannot understand. How are they doing it? Christians also know that there are not only frauds making predictions, like we find every year at the state fair or the county fair, but we find as Christians that there are those making predictions with the help of Satan, by the use of magic, by the use of witchcraft. Note what God's Word says to us. He says it's important that we know how these predictions are made, and then we can stay away from them. In Leviticus, do not practice divination or sorcery, And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. God wants us to come to Him with our joys, with our sad events, with our problems, with our difficulties, with our concerns and worries of all kinds. God's holy, inspired, inerrant word contains many predictions. All through the Old and the New Testament, God has made predictions to the people. Many of these predictions have come true, have already taken place, and some of these predictions are still left undone. Our Lord also spoke about predictions. Our sermon text for today is recorded in Luke chapter 12. Then he also said to the multitudes, "Whenever you see a cloud rising out in the west, immediately you say, 'A shower is coming,' and it is so. And when you see the wind blowing from the south, you say, 'There will be hot weather today,' and there it is. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you do not know how to discern the present time?" Notice that at this time Jesus was speaking to the people. He was speaking almost entirely to church people. And in the inspired word today, God is speaking to His church people. And what does He say to church people? Hypocrites! He says, you know how to discern the signs in the sky and on the earth. Why don't you know how to discern the present events of today? Our holy, inspired, inerrant word, the book that we call the Bible, contains words of history, contains words of prophecy, contains words of law and gospel, etc. And in that inspired word, God tells us about historical events. We can trace the history of the Jewish people, His chosen people, and it tells us about things that will happen in the future, and it tells us about the difficulties that people are going to have. In that inspired word, God is also speaking to you and to me. In that inspired word, the Bible, God says to you who are seated in church today, He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are those people, you and I, that God in His great love has called out of the darkness of sin into His marvelous light. These are the words of Romans that God speaks to us. These are the words of Romans that speaks about America today. These are the words of Romans that speak about the world today. And as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, worshipers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God upon those who practice such things that they are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them." Wow. That's a perfect picture of mankind. That's a perfect picture of what we see taking place on the streets of America today. And I have to admit that if you are not totally blind and dead in your own sins, in that list of horrible things that God, the people of God and the earth have done against Almighty God, we would find ourselves. You can find there something for which definitely you need to repent of. You can find there something that you need to ask God to forgive you for and to praise Him for leading you out of that darkness into His marvelous light. As we review our text, we find that Jesus is not condemning the society, the people, because they know how to say it's going to be a hot day today or there's a storm coming. He's chiding the people in the church because He has not only given them the signs of what is happening on this earth, but He is giving them the signs that the end of the world is at hand. Oh, we can all remember those pictures of this old man with a beard walking around carrying a sign that says, "The end is coming, the end is coming." You know what? The end is coming. Jesus says this, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Jesus wants us not only to know that the end is very near and that the end is coming, He wants us to know it and have joy about it. We rejoice in the fact that our Lord and Savior is fulfilling His promise to return to this earth to judge mankind. God says in 1 John, "Little children, it's the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." Well, the last hour is here. And so what do we do with this prediction? Do we say, "Yep, just like God said, it's the last hour, He's coming. He's coming to judge the world." No, there's a little bit more to it than that. You are here for a reason. God has left each and every Christian upon this earth at this present time because we have a mission. I guess you've heard of what we've had in our confirmation classes where we talk about the Great Commission. You know what that is from Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, God tells you why you're left here. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That's why we are still here. We not only are here to rejoice that the Word of God is coming true, but we are here to continue the work before us. In John 3, He says, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And again in Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep at His right hand, but the goats at His left." You and I are Lutherans. And as Lutherans, we're much like the people of the Old Testament. We have memorized much of God's holy, inspired Word. We say, "What can I do? I'm old. I cannot do much now." You can do a lot. You've memorized many passages of God's Word. You can talk to your neighbors and the other people around you and let them know why you have no fear at your impending death. Why you know that your Savior, Jesus Christ, has come, suffered, and died. You can tell them that God takes no joy in the fact that most of humanity will be condemned to die, and that God wants all people to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, there are many things happening in our world today. God has predicted that. God has predicted that horrible things will be happening. He predicted that you who are Christians will suffer the most. You who are God's chosen elect people have been chosen to suffer the most. Well, we can see those things taking place right now. Look around you. You can see that the human race is becoming more depraved and more ruthless each day. Look at the news. You can see what is happening in country after country. Remember that priest in France, forced to kneel before the altar of God and have his throat slashed? And the media says, lamely, by radical Muslims. If you pick up almost any paper from the churches today, you can read about the martyrs all around the world every day. Christians being killed because they are Christian, because they know Jesus to be the Son of God, the only Savior of mankind, being killed for their faith. Yes, as we look around, we see these things happening in every part of the world. Remember just this past week, the Christians coming out of the church in Riverside, California, being threatened, and the people in Bakersfield, California, coming out of the church, being threatened, and in New York, where they have to have an armed guard at the doors in the church. Yes, these days are bad. God is coming. The day of judgment is at hand. But we have some good news. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I want to close with one more Bible quotation, and I think it applies to each of us seated here today. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith until the day of everlasting life. Amen.